Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria near Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down at the well. It was about noon. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and he said to her, "If you but knew the gift of God," that's the key line. If you but knew who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get me this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself?" Jesus answered and said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. And whoever drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst. The water that I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up unto eternal life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again and don't have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but your people, you say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him will worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." And Jesus said to her, "I am the one who is speaking with you." Now many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. And when the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is truly the Savior of the world." This is good news from the Lord. Sorry, I only realized halfway into it I was reading the shorter version. I'm sure you were hoping for the long version. But actually, the long version makes most of the point I wanted to make. But the primary point is this. The longer I try to walk this spiritual journey, the more I think an almost perfect image, metaphor, symbol for what God does in each human life is God operates as a perfect mirror. People who've had near-death experiences, almost to the person, they say in those moments when they felt they first met God, they never felt judged in the least. They felt no guilt, no shame, no diminishment or dismissal, but they did feel deep responsibility. In a moment, they see that they lived 70 years or 80 if they were strong, but they didn't love a lot of people, they didn't serve a lot of people, and in that, they feel responsibility. How did I miss my chance? One human chance to perfect the science of love. That's the only goal. And they take on that deep responsibility that I could have done a lot better. But again, I repeat, all the accounts say it's not said with guilt or shame, but simply deep responsibility. I suspect, this is just my opinion, but I suspect that's what Catholics historically meant by purgatory. It's a huge purgation. We have to face the truth of what you did and what you didn't. And the owning of that responsibility is like God merely placing a mirror in front of your face. And you see it with perfect perfection and responsibility. Now, this particular image comes to me today, if I had read the longer version, of what Jesus does for this woman at the well. It's one of the most beautiful gospel stories from the fourth chapter of John's gospel. And if I would have been smart enough to read the long version, you would have seen that Jesus very kindly brings to her mind that she isn't married. And in fact, she's had five husbands, but no shame, no guilt, no accusation. Just, I know. And somehow it's okay. You see, in the great divine economy, God, who is infinite grace and infinite mercy, God can contain everything. God can hold everything. We can't. We can't imagine such love. But then he also becomes the positive mirror. And he sees in her what she cannot see, what she dares not see, that she holds the gift of God. That the living water is dwelling within her. We will later call that, in fact that was the second reading, the indwelling spirit. Every one of you in this room has that well welling up inside of you. It's planted within you. You don't get it by coming to church. You had it before you came to church. And even if you're not listening to me now, you're going to have it after you leave church. Maybe it'll take you 5 years, 10 years, maybe never. Some of you will never believe it or never awaken to it. But that's what the perfect mirror does. Some of the early saints said, God only sees Christ in you. That's all God sees, and that's entirely what God finds worthy of love. But God sees, and we see it here mirrored in this Jesus gazing at this woman at the well, who is both broken and wonderful. And he mirrors both of them. Now, when you allow, sisters and brothers, that double mirroring, and you don't take shame for what it reveals to you that is not very exciting, and you don't take undue pride from the positive mirroring that you are, in fact, a daughter of God, a child of God, a son of God, why could you take pride in it? Because it's entirely a gift. You have nothing to do with it. You were just born. You were just born, and you were born as God's creature. But I find very few Catholics who live out of that realization. Most of us simply live out of the negative, I'm not good enough. And we all find plenty of evidence why we're not good. And that is so overwhelming to the typical person that they will not see that they are equally good. You see, what it means to be God, and of course, how could we understand? We're not God. What it means to be God is to love everything, all the time. That's God's job description. That's all God's good for, and He lives up to it. He mirrors the soul in its silliness and stupidity and forgives it. He mirrors the soul in its glory and its carrying the divine image. And He says, keep your eyes on this because I do first. I want you to see what I see. It takes us all of our life to believe that could possibly be true. Christ is the divine mirror coming into history to show us the truth of what is happening all the time and everywhere.